Welcome to Elevate, the ultimate young adult platform where real talk meets real faith. We're here to bring you fresh perspectives and heartfelt discussions inspired by our church sermon series. This is your safe space where reality, truth, and the Bible intersect. So grab a seat, open your heart, and let's grow together. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in and elevate our faith to new heights.
How's everybody doing?
Hi, and welcome back to Elevate, the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica.
I'm Bria.
I'm Tati.
And Alex is out getting our Christian food.
AKA Chick-fil-A.
So we're going to get into it. How was everybody's week?
My week was pretty good.
I'm 24.
Happy birthday.
Just had a birthday.
Celebrated in the Hamptons. Whoop. It was a time. Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Right now, this is a Christian podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. I feel like this week has been long.
Yeah.
Long.
It's been long, but not long at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like... Anyway.
No, I get what you mean. Like, taking it day by day feels long, but then it moves fast.
It's Friday.
Right. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah, we need to go to TGIF Fridays after this.
Remember when they used to have... Oh, no, that was Thank God It's Thursdays. How was your week, Alex?
Oh, my week was good. You know, very jam-packed, busy, at work. It was good. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Sermon series, and the focus was Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. And in those verses, there was a woman who lost a coin. And it was a very valuable coin. I think they said that it was worth about a year's salary. And she lost it. And she had to find it. And we went through the different things that she had to do in order to find the coin. She had to first turn on the light. She had to do a significant sweep. And she had to declutter her space in order to find what was valuable to her.
You sound like your dad. I'm sorry.
Any thoughts?
You know, it really put things into perspective. Yeah, it just put things into perspective for me, like, how... I know... Spring cleaning, we're thinking of it in a literal sense, but his sermons were obviously focused more so on soul work and the things we should be doing to clean up our spaces, clean up our hearts, clean up our minds. And so I really just, it really put some things into perspective. For revival, I'm gonna skip over a month. For revival, Pastor Travis Haynes, he preached about what are you thinking and how our head thoughts can turn into heart thoughts. And that's really what it reminded me of. Just decluttering your space. Sometimes it's good to clear out the clutter. It's good to clear out the clutter.
I think sometimes we don't realize how much stuff is in the way until we start to declutter.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that he said in the sermon was that to find what she lost, action was needed. And like Bria was saying about soul work, I just thought about, like, you know how when we were younger and like we were so carefree, we could just do anything, could be happy. And growing up, we kind of lose that. Mm. But if you put in the work, you can have that again. It just takes more, but it's not lost forever. Just gotta put some action behind it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we focus so much on what has happened to us, what somebody has done to us, and the things that we've gone through. We tend to focus on that versus just living life and telling ourselves, okay, we're gonna make it through, just like we did the last situation, and just moving forward. We tend to stay stuck in our stuff, and that's what he said in the first sermon, Lost in the House. We get so comfortable with our chaos. Like, we don't want to move. We don't want to clean up. We're spiritual hoarders, you know? We stay so stuck in our mind and things just pile up. And we don't even realize that we have all this clutter within us until, you know, we might say something or do something or, you know, somebody might bring something to our attention. And I think that's why it's important to have accountability partners, because somebody that's going to not tell you when you're right all the time or agree with everything that you say, but somebody that's really going to be honest with you in a loving way and say, hey, you might be dealing with some stuff, but, you know, you need to take it to God, or you need to, you know, just kind of take some time for yourself. I think a lot of times we don't have that because the people in our lives, they want to be there for us so bad that they don't realize they're enabling us.
In the message, you were talking about comfortable chaos a little bit. And, like, a lot of people could be so comfortable in their season in that comfortable chaos that they thrive off of it, you know? And he brought up a example, the hoarders, that show. Mm-hmm. And that was a great example, because sometimes people aren't even willing for the help that you are giving them. Like, they wouldn't even want to receive it, yet you're still trying to help them out. Mm-hmm. And that's why it is, like what you were saying about accountability partners, that is good, because, you know, if the person actually wants to help them, you can be there to be a guide for them, and they can be a guide for you, mm-hmm. In areas where you struggle at spiritually. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think also people become comfortable in their chaos because they're embarrassed of what they have in their house, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whether that's spiritual house, whatever they've gone through in their life. And it's hard for them to let people hold them accountable, because then those people would see the real them. And that's scary for a lot of people. That's why I like the Hoarders comparison, mm-hmm. because watching that show, Hoarders are embarrassed of their space. That's why, mm-hmm. they don't want people in their, mm-hmm. you know, there's, like, people would always say, like, there's certain tendencies where you can tell someone might be a hoarder. Like, you've been friends with this person for 5 years and you've never been to their, mm-hmm. house or something like that. So I think that plays a lot into, I guess, how people live their lives. Yep. And why they're so comfortable in their chaos. It's because only they know what is really going on.
Mm-hmm. And especially, I'm just going to talk about church folk. We're so good at hiding our mess. We're so good at putting a good face on, going to church, and just existing in these spaces where we're not being our authentic selves. I think it's okay to, you know, come to church sometimes and you just are not feeling it. You know, I think we've all had those days where we get into service and we're like, I don't want to be here. Like, I'm tired. I'm aggravated at something. Somebody says something to me the wrong way. And now my whole mood is thrown off. And, you know, sometimes we just put on a strong front. I think a lot of times Christians don't want to exist in their feelings. They don't want to sit in their feelings. They want to just kind of pray everything away. They want to exist in this, not delude. I'm going to use the word deluded for lack of better terms, but just not really existing in real life. We had this discussion, for Touch Tuesday this past week, and I kind of made the statement, you know, we have faith about, you know, certain situations, but I think it gets to a point where our faith is so blinding that we forget to exist in the real world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that's why, like, when you said faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have all the faith in the world, but if you're not doing anything to actually make what you want come true, it's like delusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bria said, it's just a little delusional.
Yeah, just a little delulu.
Prayer doesn't work without action.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
That's why, like, when he said, learn how to be somebody and stop waiting on somebody.
Mm.
Because people are always looking for somebody else to help them out of their situation. And that's not always the case. Like, you have to want better for yourself. And you have to, once you start, and that's what I've learned, once I started working my way out of my mess, it's like people started coming around to help me, but I had to make the first move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes God is just asking us to let go of it. He wants us to just kind of give up the control. And he says that in his sermon, in the first sermon, we won't let God guide us. We always want to have the final say so. We always want to think about what we want to do, but we're never gonna fulfill our purpose in life if we continue to think with these selfish mindsets. And I think that leads me into talking about people that are in his house but not in his hands. And he said, he stated that people that are not in his house, that are in his house but not in his hands, are out of control. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
Ooh, sheesh.
Because in the next sermon, he says, only in his hands can you be molded and made into what God would have you to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you go to church, but are you letting God mold you into what he needs you to be?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important. Do less church work and more soul work.
That part. You need to put that on your shirt.
Right. Shirt's coming soon.
Why do you guys think that there are people like that? That are in the church but not in his hand?
I think for a long time, through generations, people have equated the act of going to church with your closeness to God. And when you do certain acts, like when you're on the pastor's care team, you know, and we as Christians, we are supposed to do acts of service, but it comes to a point where you're doing too many acts of service, but your spirit is still nasty. You still treat people wrong, you know, you're doing certain things, and it's like, okay. You know, I think that's just always been like a generational thing, especially in the Baptist church, because we do all these grand events, we have all these, you know, things happening, yeah, and that's the way people prove their Christianity. But that's not what God really wants from us. God wants our hearts to be right, and doing the church work is a way to veer away from that.
You know, I had a conversation with two people. One was Christian and one was Catholic. And me and the one that was Christian, because we're both Christian, we just talked about how we would go to church pretty much because we were just taken to church. We weren't really, like, taught about having a relationship with God. But then the one that was Catholic said he would have never thought that that's what happened in, like, Baptist churches, because of the way that services go. And he said in his Catholic church, the main thing that they stressed there was having a relationship with God. And I was like, that's good, because, you know, the services are completely different. But it's like the relationship is the most important thing. So I'd rather learn about having a relationship with God than hooting and hollering and falling out and doing all that extra stuff. Yeah. Because it's the relationship that's going to get you to where you want to go.
We need that quietness to just, you know, talk to God and be in his presence. And I love me a good old Baptist service, don't get me wrong, but sometimes it's like when somebody sees that you're not in the spirit the way they're in the spirit, or the way we've assumed people should be in the spirit, they kind of look at you like, well, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, nothing's wrong. I'm feeling them. I don't have to run around a church to show you that I'm feeling them, because I'm not here for you. I'm here for me.
Right. Oh my gosh, should I tell them the story?
tell us the story.
Tell us the story.
Right? So we was at church. It was
names.
It was the Sunday that one of the members were being married. So not a lot of people was in church, but I was there. We had a guest preacher, and, you know, they went, they had their service, you know, they were singing, and somebody looked me dead in my face, pointed at me and said, you need to get your praise up.
Was this somebody in the church?
Yeah.
What?
I won't say which church. I won't say who it was.
What?
But I was just sitting there like, first of all.
Wow.
I think this had to be after the preacher preached. Because when I say that preacher spoke directly to me. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was just trying to take everything in.
Yeah.
And then to have somebody say that to me, it's like, you don't even know what I'm going through right now. You don't even know what's happening internally right now. Mm. And then, also, I read my Bible every day. I do devotional every day. Mm. I talk to God every day.
You do what needs
day.
To be done.
And that's behind the scenes. Yeah. I don't have to be in this church jumping up and down, singing songs, just to show y'all my relationship with God. What me and God has, he knows about it. Mm. And that's what's most important. What I do was in my heart, that's what God knows. And I feel like I don't have to show it all the time to other people.
Yeah. Because it's a show. That's exactly what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's turned into a show. Like, I see, and let me preface this with saying, there's nothing wrong. You catch the Spirit, you catch the Holy Ghost, how you catch the Holy Ghost. You can't control that. But I do feel like a lot of times I see in these churches, they are just doing it for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll see a video and, you know, it'll be two people up near the altar and they just start shouting, and everybody else want to come up and go in the front where you could see them and start shouting also. And I'm like, you couldn't dance in your seat?
Right.
You couldn't shout in your pew?
They wanna be,
you couldn't shout with
so
your neighbor
bad.
You couldn't dance with the person that's sitting next to you, but you wanted to be seen. And I'm like,
I have a theory about that specifically, of like the Black community needing to feel like they have to prove themselves. Do you guys agree? Like,
that's crazy that you just brought that up. Me and Marquise were just talking about it while we were driving back. We were talking about how, well, I guess the opposite race, how they show their wealth, rather than how when we get our money, we show our wealth. And I was like, is it like a validation thing that we need to show people out? Like, I don't know what it is. Like, is it a cultural background thing?
I think it is, because
something
we were
like that.
Yeah, because we were always the lowest people in society, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when generationally that continues to happen, you always constantly feel the need to prove. And I feel like that kind of leaked into Christianity or the church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that now we have people like that that aren't actually in God's hand, but they want you to think they are.
Yeah.
So they do all this stuff to make it seem like they are, but they're really not.
Their version of being in God's hand.
Exactly.
It's, you know,
well, my
it's
thing
really
is,
an intimate connection.
Why are you trying to prove yourself to me?
Right.
I'm not the one that that's going to judge you on Judgment Day.
I'm a sinner just like you, boo.
I'm just trying to make sure I'm on the list. I can't be worried about you.
Yeah. But that's why I think it's like an internal thing of like I said, constantly needing, feeling the need. It's an insecurity thing, mm-hmm. I think.
I see think pieces about this all the time where people are like, you know, I can't get with the new CCM music, and I can't get with that kind of service, and bring back the old services. Yeah, you could bring back the old services, but that means you're going to have to relive all that trauma, that church hurt, mm-hmm. all the old mothers that was in the church telling you to put something over your legs when you sit down, the people that are judging you, the people that are faking, like, you got, that means all of that comes back also, because I think sometimes that is connected to the old church, and they couldn't help it. They grew up in their times, but before all of our elders passed away in our church, that's how it was. Like, it was a very traditional way of thinking. Like, you had to wear skirts in the sanctuary. A woman couldn't wear pants. We don't understand what we say when we say certain things. And I'm like, the people that go to these CCM churches, they feel God the same way you feel God. They just show it differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they like, oh, yeah, that's all that white music. I'm like, praise and worship means, to me, it means being quiet and being one with God. And I don't think you can hear God when it's a bunch of hooting and hollering going on. That's just personally me.
I guess it's whatever your spirit needs. For, you know what I mean? For mm-hmm. your situation and for your moment. Mm-hmm. And that's why in some of the points when you were saying the action that needs to be taken, since the action is needed, is required, and that takes intervention, right? And then he brought up three points. He brought up one thing that she brought, one action that she took that was needed in order to start the cleaning. And the first thing was turning on the light. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And when he brought up that, one of the things he said, it detects real from the counterfeit. Mm-hmm. The light dispels darkness. But when he said the light dispels darkness, it reminded me of like the people that recently got baptized. Mm-hmm. Because I think we talked about this on the first podcast, where when people get baptized, you think there's going to be a grand old experience where they're going to get all these blessings and everything that they've been wanting in their life to happen. But no, that's just the first start. Mm-hmm. And this is one of them where some of the people that were near you no longer is going to be drawing nearer to you. Mm-hmm. They might either push away because of the blessings or what they see God is doing in your life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to be okay with that.
Yep.
And then also, life delivers description. That was another one. So yeah.
She lit the lamp. I mean, she turned on the light, and when you turn the light on, it exposes everything that's in the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exposure, I think a lot of times we're a little scared of exposure. And when he, you know, was talking about sometimes you can only help people but so much, because no matter how bright it is on the outside, the inside is dark. There's so much darkness, and I think a lot of times we all have had periods where we've been in the dark. Like, we've all had those periods where we have lived in darkness, and I think the power of God is that we can be in that dark time. We don't have to stay there. Mm-hmm. We can turn on the light. We can choose to say, I'm giving this situation over to God, and I choose not to let, you know, the outside world have full authority over how I feel.
And it's funny, that word that you said, it was like, you give it all over to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he said in the message was that she didn't call her friends or her neighbors mm-hmm. to come in to go help her.
Yeah.
It was something that was like internally that was needed to be mm-hmm. done with just her and God.
Yep.
Something. And then he also said that a professional cleaner wouldn't come to your house and help you clean up, but then talk about it afterwards once you're done cleaning up.
Yep.
And that is so true. So sometimes some of the work that you need to do is something that's internally done just between you and God. And not everybody needs to be there.
Yeah.
But just to be there afterwards.
Right.
And wondering how did that happen.
Right.
And it's crazy. He used an example in the series where he was talking about storage wars and how like people would auction off different storage units and stuff like that. And it kind of correlated with the message because sometimes people don't even understand how valuable of like what's inside of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a little push to be like, no, you got this. Mm-hmm. You know, you're on the right path. And then people just give up because they don't know what's inside of them.
Yeah.
How valuable the thing that is inside of them that they lost and you're missing, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's why, like, in the second sermon, A Significant Sweep, is he said, she didn't give up when she didn't find the coin when she just turned on the light. So turning on the light was just one step.
Right.
Just because she turned on the light doesn't mean she was going to find what she was looking for. She had to put an action behind it. And in after she sweeped, she still didn't find it.
Exactly.
She had to declutter. It's like, yes, God is with you, but that doesn't mean that the answer is always going to be easy. But you got to keep going. If he put something in your heart, it may fail the first two, three, four, five times, but that sixth time, when you kept going and you put everything that you learned in the previous times together, it's finally going to happen for you, but you can't give up.
Right. I think he also mentioned, like, even when you're failing, just try it a different way. You can't keep expecting to win if you keep doing the same thing that's making you lose.
Yeah.
Right.
That's where the success comes in.
Yeah.
You gotta fail to know what didn't work to then, you know,
so
improve.
You can change it, fix it up, try it again in a different way.
Exactly.
Really the definition of a setting.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Even like with people you tell things like, okay, who did you tell?
No, because it's just like, you know, sometimes when you tell somebody something and then they tell other people, they mean well, but it's just like, I told you in confidence, like, you know, I didn't want everybody else to know just yet, so now everybody is calling you, texting you, oh my God, and it's like, I know you were excited, but you gotta calm down.
Something that my mom always talked to me about was like, with the law of attraction is like, thoughts have power and energy, right? So do words, because they come from your thoughts. So if you're telling people something that you may be like in the works for you or something, that thing can go completely wrong based off of their negative thoughts or what they're saying to other people, and those people's negative thoughts that don't believe in you. So you just have to be careful.
Sometimes it comes from the people that you least expect. Like,
I told Bria something last week, and it just...
No, you didn't. Right. But no, seriously, like, I had somebody tell me one time, like, just out of the blue, they were just like, you know, God wants to bring you through these doors, but it's people in your life that are preventing you from getting through those doors, and he wants to bring you through, but it's somebody there that he just needs to remove. And I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean?
And
like,
you're trying to think who?
And I'm like, which one is it? Like, who is it in my life? But, and it's not as easy as that, but like Jessica said, you got to be inclusive about the things that you going through, the plans that you have, the plans that God put on your heart, the visions. Everybody's not going to get it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's not going to get it, and you can't tell it to everybody, because then that'll be the one person you tell, and God be like, ugh.
They weren't supposed to come
like,
to you.
If they were supposed to know, I would have told them.
Yeah, yeah.
I always find it helpful to ask God, like, I do this with people, like, friendships, dating, whatever. if this person is not meant to be in my life, take them out.
That's the quickest. That's and the quickest prayer you could pray.
Yep. Skirt out so quickly. Yeah. Damn. I'm like, wait, what? Like,
hold on, wait a minute.
Yesterday, and now it's drama. Yeah. What happened? Yeah.
And then even the ones that stay, and I'm like, are you sure?
Right. You're like, you promise? Are you sure about that one?
I'm gonna keep asking. Like, right. Remove them, please, as fast as you can. Like, what's I don't crazy? What.
You only have to ask
once. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like.
And sometimes we ask. He'll show us, and we still are choosing to not believe what is being presented to us. And I think that's because, you know, we hold on to people, we hold on to relationships, friendships, things, and it's like, okay, is that person acting funny towards me right now because they just are busy with their own lives, or are they acting funny towards me right now because, like, it's something else going on? And I think sometimes we can pray that prayer and still be in our heads because we're expecting it to just be a clear thing that happens. And it's like, sometimes it's not. Yeah. Sometimes it's not that clear. God is not a God of fairness. He's not fair. God is just.
I also find that sometimes you have to be specific with what you're asking too. Mm. So if I'm asking God, literally take them out. Like, don't even give me the option of, like, having or mistakenly keeping them around. I find that works really well.
Something that he said, well, we kind of touched on this already, but he said abnormal cannot become normal until you take action. And I think he said, you know, some things don't really require divine intervention when we can do something about it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that was like, oof.
It's very true.
Yeah, it is.
Not everything needs an answer from God.
Yeah.
You over here praying to lose weight.
I was gonna
get
say
on
that.
A, get on the train meeting.
Exactly.
But they definitely ate that dinner after church.
Right. Do them 10K steps. Like, you know.
Just clogging up the prayer line. Other people got things to pray about.
You clogging up the prayer line by the man. Let him go.
Please.
Let him go.
He cheated. He did all these terrible things
to you. Had a baby on
you. Had a baby on you.
He was riding around your car. Forgot to pick you up from work. Let him go.
Still praying. And you're asking God, fix him, Jesus. Fix him.
No.
No.
Let him go. Let God fix him on his own time.
No, literally.
You burden yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Help somebody else.
Yep. When helping someone is hurting you. God just wants to see that, one, that we're capable of doing things sometimes without Him. Because, yeah, we need God, but we are human beings, and we should have the capabilities to do things on our own.
Kind of like when he talks about taking care of what you have so you can be blessed with more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you want that promotion, but you ain't even paying your tithes with the salary you have now, so... Do you really want
me? Yeah.
I feel real targeted right now.
I like when you said, stop looking for an outside source. You are the coin. Because we be looking for the coin. All the time, we are it.
Nice and shiny.
And make sure that you're in the hand. So you can be used.
Yeah. You're the coin.
I'm the coin.
Don't have risk. Even this podcast.
I'm gonna go on the subway. I'm the coin.
It's me.
Almost been. We'll give you some.
Ooh, and I like when you said that it's okay to admit I need help. Yeah.
Is that hard for you guys? It's very hard for me.
Yes.
It's actually not that hard for me.
Honestly, though, I think there's strength in being able to say, I need help with this. It's strength in that, I think. Because I think it's easy to say, I'll figure it out. Like, I'll do it on my own. But for somebody to be honest and say, I need help. one, to be able to identify what you need help with, because a lot of times we don't even know that. We don't even know what we need help with.
No, I commend people that could ask for help. Yeah. You know, I'm one of those people, it's hard for me to ask for help. Mm. Like,
I think I'll pray. Need to do a workshop with y'all.
Teach us your ways.
Right.
Teach us. Like, I'll pray, I'll ask on the situation, I trust God. All that is good. But then I know that I need to work with my community and being like, okay, I got people around me that I can ask for help. But I know what it feels like to be the one that, like, is needed all the time, like, for some skill or something.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, okay, I don't want to be the burden to somebody else, because people are people. Mm-hmm. But then I remember he was saying, it's okay to tell people that you're at capacity.
Yeah.
And that way you're not overwhelming your own spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I got to that point before, and I guess that's the reason why.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to just be like, I need help to somebody else, because I know how much it is for them to exert that energy to somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
You know what helped me? It was actually my group counseling and dynamic class in my master's program. Mm-hmm. Basically, the whole class was just a group therapy session. And I remember it was like the second to last session, and the professor told us that it was our second to last session, and everybody was like, oh, okay. And nobody really said anything, and he was like, I find it interesting how when I tell you guys it's the second to last session that you guys kind of retreated, like, I thought that you guys would talk more. And he was like, why? So me finally saying something, because he compared it to jumping into the deep end of the pool. And I said, it's funny you say that, because I actually took a swimming class at Howard in the summer, and that one thing that I didn't do was jump into the end, to the deep end of the pool, and it was because of fear. It was uncomfortable, it was unknown, I don't know how to swim. So opening up about that and then talking about more in my life, like, I feel like that was the first session that I actually left with something. And after that, I was like, I'm going to start talking more. And I did throughout my years at the school. I opened up more, I talked more, and I was like, this, it just felt like a weight being lifted off of my shoulder. Because when you talk, it's like, other people are going through what you're going through. You're not the only one. You're not the anomaly. Like, you're not crazy. People are going through this. And other people don't want to talk about it. And as long as we're not talking about it, it's not getting addressed.
Yeah.
So that was the one thing. After that, I was like, oh, say less. I'm talking about everything.
Yeah.
I need help. I need money. I need food. And you'll be surprised. Like, once I started talking more, like, my mom used to send me $100 in food stamps when I was living away. And that was, I was eating good for a month. It was just me and my cat. What? Oh, yeah, we really did. And it's like, when you open up, people are willing to help you, but if they don't know, like, they can't help.
Yeah. And sometimes God's blessing is you asking for help, because he wants to make someone else a blessing in your life.
Exactly.
Wow, I just realized that.
Thank you for listening to the April Service Series.
We hope you left here with something valuable. Remember, you are the